Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. It's good to be back.
I know. You had a big trip. You helped other people. You want to share?
I was a camp counselor at the Muscular Dystrophy Camp last week at Camp Twin Lakes. And woo, I'm exhausted. Definitely not a vacation. But it was interesting. It was very enlightening and a great experience. Camp Twin Lakes is amazing. If you haven't been out there, each week of the summer they dedicate to children with different disabilities. So
right.
it's just really amazing.
How many kids are out there?
This is the largest muscular dystrophy camp in the country, and there were 124 campers.
From all over the country?
No, really? Well, from all over the state, but there were some from out of state, the surrounding states, and the ratio is 1-to-1. I mean, each camper has their own counselor, so
wow.
A lot of volunteers, a lot of firefighters, which was really neat.
Really?
Yeah.
So they have a special program? That
they do.
They partner with Camp Twin Lakes or just the
muscular dystrophy? Yeah, and the Harley riders came out one day. Like 150 people on Harleys.
Wow, that must have sounded pretty cool.
It was loud, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gave out presents. There was a big wrestling federation thing. Yeah, the entertainment was great. Lots of fun. Had a great time. But I missed you guys. I'm back, and we have two great guests this morning, Lee. But you know what? Before we get started, I've got to mention this. You know the Solo Health folks that were on with the eye machine?
Yes. How are they doing?
Well, Forbes magazine has listed them as one of the top entrepreneurs, the only entrepreneur from Georgia. And let's go ahead and include on our podcast on the link today how people can go on and vote for Solo Health as the number one entrepreneur. Very, very interesting story. And if you get the opportunity, go back and listen to Bart's podcast on how he founded Solo Health, and I'll give you the link as well with Forbes magazine. So we got to remember that. Everybody click on and vote, and we want someone from Georgia to win that entrepreneurial spot. Two great guests this morning. You know, with the economy, people are talking about mortgages, talking about real estate, and everybody seems to think that things are just really in the dumps. But it's great to hear Blake Hugger, president and owner of Waterford Loan Consulting, with a little bit different twist on loans and things of that nature. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Blake.
Good morning.
So you come in this morning, and Lee and I both look at you, and we're like, so...
Man, this guy looks like a loan officer. That's what I said.
Is that what you said? That's not what I said. But, you know, there's got to be a lot going on in your business right now, and it sounds like you have a really unique approach. We'd love to hear more about it. How'd you get started?
Essentially, I was a loan officer for 7 years, and I saw the need for consumers to have a place that they could go to get a fair, comprehensive approach as far as pricing and someone that would basically shoot them straight when it comes to a type of loan or scenario, or guide them down a proper loan scenario that would offer value from a cost or no cost perspective, and that would also, you know, offer reduce closing cost, because the industry has evolved into a very expensive process.
Do you think it's expensive for good reason, or you think there's some cost that can be massaged a little?
Well, it's expensive for a reason. It's because it's just kind of evolved into this process from, you know, over the years, if you want a lower interest rate, you're going to pay more in closing cost. If you want a no closing cost, you're going to pay a higher interest rate. From a cost perspective, you know, it's evolved into the lower rate, you're going to pay a point in origination.
Mm-hmm.
This is fluff that's added to the deal as profit margins for the loan officer or the broker that's doing the loan. And that can definitely be cut out. And that's what we've done.
Right. So you educate the consumer to make sure that they get the best pricing.
That's correct.
And all of this is done over the phone, in person. How do you conduct your business?
If someone wants to meet in person, I'm set up to do so. Mm-hmm. But typically most of our business is done over the phone.
And how does the internet play a part in your business?
We purchase internet leads, which obviously broadens our exposure for getting consumers in. And, you know, with the website, with the internet leads that do come in, we put a direct auto response out to those consumers to view our website to get a better feel for what we do even prior to us talking.
So you're more of a consultant, but some people sometimes look at a consultant as a middleman. How can you maybe get rid of that myth in people's mind?
Well, there is absolutely no doubt that we are a source of a middleman in this process. One that has a lot of value to the mortgage industry, though, and that is that most consumers today go to a broker directly to try to obtain financing. That's their middleman to the lender. With us, we're the middleman from the consumer to the broker to make sure that the broker is standing by offering the best deal to the consumer. So we are definitely a middleman. However, there's great value behind our position because we regulate the cost, the rates, and everything that are actually being charged to the consumer, where the brokers are basically just following an industry standard based on cost and interest rate.
How is that better than like those things on the internet where they'll shop your loan to 10 different places?
That's a great question, Lee. When you go onto a website and you fill out your information, no one's really shopping your loan to 10 different places. What they're doing is they're shop putting your information out to 10 different people. Mm-hmm. It then ends up being the consumer's choice and job to determine which deal is best.
Right.
So oftentimes what happens is a consumer will get 10 quotes, okay? And then they'll find themselves sifting through all these deals, asking themselves, how can this one deal be so much better than this other guy?
Right.
How are they all over the board? A lot of times in this with this type of business model, you've got one guy that's just trying to get you to do business with them, knowing very well that when you get to the closing table, those numbers are going to change. And that happens on a daily basis.
Oh, so and when you're doing it by yourself in this scenario, then you've got to be kind of savvy enough to understand that that's a possibility. And most people aren't. Is that?
That's right. I mean, a lot of people think that what's cheapest is best.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And clearly in this industry, that's not the case.
Because oftentimes it sounds like there are hidden fees and hidden costs. And that sounds like where you might come into play and help people look through that and really sift through it.
Right. You know, that type of terminology that you know to even say of hidden cost, mm-hmm. is those are not hidden costs. Those are costs that weren't originally disclosed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're not hidden, they're there, but they just show up later. Mm-hmm. So, and they do that as their business tactic to say, hey, look, our closing costs are $800 lower initially, and then when you get to the closing table, they're, if not higher, the same as everybody else, but they told you that in the beginning to kind of get you in the boat.
So that's like the front end and the back end
that
oftentimes is talked about in the mortgage business.
That's more of along the bait and switch. Bait you in. Mm-hmm. Get to the closing table, they switch
because
up.
Because you're in and you're ready to close. What are you going to do now?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What are you going to do? There's a lot of pressure. There's lawyers. People on the clock are all around you. What are you going to do? You're going to walk away?
Well, the nice thing about a refinance is you do have that option to walk away. And consumers, though, that get targeted in this manner are the ones that say, hey, we're consolidating all of our debt. You know, even if we get to the closing table and things are different, we're still saving $300. We need to do it.
Right.
Where on a purchase is where people get taken advantage of the most. They'll tell you that your closing costs are $1,500. You get to the closing table, they're $3,000. The moving truck is packed. You're moving out. Mm-hmm. You got to go. What are you going to do?
Right.
You have to do it. And
you rationalize it because you go, well, my loan's 30 years, $1,500. You know, what's this really mm-hmm. costing me a month? You know, $20. Am I going to leave here for $20?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and then lose. The consumer loses.
So where we come in, it's different from if you're just calling around shopping with several different brokers, not really knowing who you're working with. The consumers actually pay us a cost that's on the HUD statement, which is the final statement, the closing. Because we're being paid by the consumer to act in this position, we actually have to represent them as their fiduciary relationship to this whole transaction.
You're protecting them.
That's right. And that's my job in banking and financing and HUD and everybody.
Right. Why don't you talk about your background? That'll kind of shed some light onto why you're uniquely qualified to be talking about this.
Sure. I've been in the mortgage industry since 2001. I worked as a loan officer for a couple different companies that are in the Atlanta market. And, you know, over the years, I just saw that there's a huge need for a business model to be able to offer the consumers a place to come for true advice on what's a good deal and what isn't.
Right.
It sounds almost too good to be true. Do people tell you that?
They do tell me that. And, you know, basically they either can tell that I'm presenting this in the best format as I can and that this is a positive change to the mortgage industry and what I'm trying to do is change the mortgage industry with this business model. So they either get on board with that or they go somewhere else and pay mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if they ever send it to someone that they know in the mortgage industry and they really look at it, that person would always be able to tell them, hey, if this is really what they're offering you, it's a good deal. This is actually what they can do.
Wow. That sounds great, Lee.
No, it's amazing service. Now, what are you doing to kind of educate people around about your service? I know how you're a prospect, but how are you getting the word out about, you know, I know you're on this show, but are you?
We have a, you know, I have a lot of real estate agents over the years that I've developed relationships with. They send me business, and that's, mm-hmm. it's just more of a marketing thing at this point. Mm-hmm. Word of mouth at this point in my business goes a long way. You get a couple people doing deals that are like, you know, this is great. No one else could beat your pricing. They hear somebody looking to purchase or refinance, and they give my information, down we go.
This sounds like something our buddy Clark Howard needs to know about. That sounds like something he would really be grooving on, you know? It almost sounds too good to be true, but it does. I mean, the business model makes a lot of sense.
I'm working that avenue now.
Well, good, good. Well, we'll say we knew you when.
That'd be great.
What's the best way for people to reach you?
You can view us on our website at www.waterfordlc.com, or you can Google us, waterfordloanconsulting.com, or you can reach me at 678-887-8800.
Last question for you. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? A lot could change in the mortgage industry.
However, I still think there's value behind this, and people will continue to buy homes. As long as people have money and they have a desire to own something, I think that there will always be a position for this. And hopefully in 5 years, the market will continue to hopefully get better, mm-hmm. and we'll be sitting in a much bigger studio.
That's great. Yeah, you're right about that.
And so are you seeing the home market, is it trending up now, or we're still at the bottom?
There's so many different speculations on whether it's near the bottom, at the bottom, or it's starting to go the other direction. It's mm-hmm. a hard question to ask.
You don't have an opinion?
My opinion is that I would say probably by the mid to end of next year would be around the bottom point.
Wow. Long time away.
It is. A lot of things happening. But on the mortgage end, it seems like not only are people looking at new mortgages, but refinancing also because of the economy. So I would imagine your business is ever increasing in some respects, right?
Yes, but it's difficult because what's happening is that because the home values are dropping so much, people that are looking to refinance, when they used to think they had a lot of equity, they mm-hmm. don't anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're really not able to do anything, which is part of this whole role of the economy of, you know, if your neighbor has a house that he's trying to sell, and you may think that, you know, your house is sitting good, but if he has to dump his house and your house is comparable to his, your house is now mm-hmm. worth what he mm-hmm. just had to dump his for.
Wow.
So
it's
that's the whole downfall. Yeah, I mean, you have to comps with appraisals is where it comes into play. If someone had to drop their house quick because they couldn't afford it, or they couldn't refinance because mm-hmm. there was no equity, then the whole value of the neighborhood is dropping quick. So that's the problem.
Hmm. Wow. We just have to wait it out.
You got to wait.
Things will get better. Thank you so much for being our guest today, Blake. And we hope that people will reach out to you and contact you, especially if they're looking to do anything in the mortgage business.
Well, thank you.
Next we have Lee. I feel like I should be barking and meowing.
That's right.
A very unique business owner in the Atlanta area. We have James Galloway, who is owner of In Town Healthy Hounds. And we'd love to hear a little bit more about In Town Healthy Hounds. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks for having me. Basically, what we did was we took a unique store concept, and everyone is going green now. So we married that with our store concept by using some less than traditional methods.
Meaning?
Less than traditional?
I know. That's intriguing. Yeah. I got to know more.
Or is it more than traditional?
Well, a lot of pet stores, they have a lot of imported items. Mm-hmm. So we really focused on having local or regional things brought in. Also, we're selling treats bulk. We're selling food bulk. And we actually have our own brand of food that's made in Ohio for us. We control the formula. We've been to the facility several times, so we know that's a high quality. We also have regional brands that are very unique to us in the Atlanta area that we're the only source for.
That's interesting. So you eliminate all the packaging and all of the waste by selling in bulk.
Hmm. And the consumer saves. Mm-hmm. We also, by doing the regional, we also cut down on gas.
I like that. Now, is it all dry food?
We do have canned food as well. That's made in a kosher and organic facility in Illinois.
I'm sorry, I'm giggling over here, but people are so into their
for
pets.
For the Jewish dog.
Yeah, that's for right. The Jewish dog. And I am one of them. I'm crazy about my pets. And, you know, people say that, you know, you care more about your pets than you do your own family when it comes to, like, their veterinary services and the things you'll do, the extent you'll go to keep your pet alive. And it's so true. And I do. I spoil my dogs. But there are some things, like the high-end nail polish and stuff like that. Now, tell me, do you carry stuff like that?
Not at all.
Okay.
That's not necessary for a healthy life.
That's good. So this is all things
what
that
about the self-esteem of the pet?
Well, there are people that do that. We are in no affiliation with them as well. There's no Dr. Phil for dogs on
staff. Oh, gosh. You have help for people like that?
The Internet's loaded with possibilities.
So what's your number one product right now?
Actually, right now, we something kind of unique to us. There's only a few people that carry them. In this metro area, actually two that I know of, they're Himalayan dog chews. And what they are, these people in the Peace Corps went from Washington State. They went to Nepal, and they rescued a puppy while they were over there, and the puppy was eating boots because it was teething.
Mm-hmm.
And something that people chew on over there is hardened yak milk and cow milk, and it's a really hard smoked cheese piece. So they gave that to the puppy. And the puppy, it lasted a really long time. So when they came back to Washington State after their stint in the Peace Corps, they actually started manufacturing these, and the proceeds of them go back to Nepal. And it's a fair trade item, and it lasts a very long time. We have very powerful chewers at home, and we were interested to see just what the hype was, and these things lasted a very long time. We were very impressed.
Now, your retail store you mentioned, but you also have other services, is that right?
That's correct. Actually, how we got into the whole pet thing is we had a dog that was had stomach issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried everything, and it was really expensive at the vet, and they kept guessing. And we were subsidizing their learning curve, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, we had a friend turn us on to this Pet Chef Express food. And when we were in Nashville, once we switched that food, all the problems went away. So we moved to Atlanta. We were still going to Nashville to get dog food for over a year.
Wow.
And then we've finally started our own distributorship here, and we've been doing home delivery for 5 years in the Atlanta, greater Atlanta area. And with gas and everything going on now, we also wanted to couple a store and have like a self-wash, some really high-end treats, things that are unique, the bulk concept. And so we still deliver, and we're actually gaining distributors. We actually have a distributor now that does the top-end Gwinnett, Alpharetta, Roswell area. So he's doing that, and we're able to both save on gas that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how the whole store came is, you know, we're trying to think smarter and more concentrated in the perimeter and let other distributors do that for us.
What is a self-serve wash?
Basically, a self-serve wash, it's getting to be pretty popular. That originated pretty much on the West Coast, which every good idea does, it seems like. And you have a stainless tub or any sort of tub that's easy surface to clean, and you bring your dog in. Everything's included as far as shampoos, any sort of you know, cleaning items for ears, nails, etc., and that's a reduced cost. So instead of having a groomer come out, or you taking the dog out and it being stressed, you can actually take the dog and have it be fun and wash it for a fraction of the cost, like around the $12-$15 range.
It's a blast. By the way, you know how I feel about fitness and play.
Right.
It's one of the most fun times I've had with my kids is taking a standard poodle, 70-pound standard poodle, and washing it ourselves. Gosh, we laughed hard.
You do it at your house?
No, we go to a self-wash place, but now knowing that y'all have a self-wash, I might have to check it out.
Oh, you have to. Actually, we're in the midst of getting the water finalized right now. We've been doing it in our spare time.
It doesn't smell up your bathroom, doesn't mess up your bathroom.
No, I can see the value, absolutely.
And right. It's a ton of fun.
Now, I think, you know, it'd be cool is if you video this and put that on the internet.
Actually, we have a request out to a local TV show, one of the morning TV shows. I don't want to disclose that right now because it's actually in the works to where this person that has his own segment of being out and about in Atlanta.
Right.
We've extended that invitation for him to come and watch one of our Irish Wolfhounds.
I think you should do a webcam and just like people go to the website and see and somebody watching their dog. That'd be hilarious.
That's actually a good idea.
It is a really good idea. What do people wear? I'm curious when they come in, because by the time you leave there, at least us, we were soaking wet, and it was a lot of fun. But what do people generally wear?
Well, you know, obviously not their stepping out clothes, but you know, we do the, you know, we have aprons and everything, and they have shields. So, but it's
shields.
You can wind up almost as wet as the dog.
How many people can do this at the same time? You have multiple.
We have two stations now. And we're looking at doing additional stations, but we're doing the two to start with, you know.
How long have you all been in business?
Actually, the store has only been in business for about a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And the delivery part of it, like I said, has been going for 5 years.
And do you market at all through any type of veterinarian clinics that have diagnosed pets with various gastro diseases or needs?
Actually, yes, we have several vets that we work in conjunction mm-hmm. with, and we actually have our own vet that's mobile.
Oh, wow.
And I would go ahead and push that now for anyone that has multiple pets, because mm-hmm. it's just a no-brainer to have someone come to your house with one trip charge and look at all the vets. We actually have a mobile vet, like I said, and she is going to be doing mobile shot clinics at our store. And we also consult her, and she has her own column in our monthly newsletter that's an e-newsletter.
Well, that's a great idea. So I have four pets. I could have them come make one stop, take care of all of them. My car's not going to be all smelly, full of hair. Wow, that's a great idea.
And the pet's not going to be stressed.
Yeah, they do get stressed out.
That's right.
They do get stressed out. So why do you think it is that people spend so much money on their pets? I mean, you look at it 20 years ago. I grew up with pets. I don't think we spent that kind of money.
They were more disposable back then. Kansas.
Mm. You think?
There's a big question and a simple answer. Basically, the American dream has shifted, and people are starting to realize that the things that are important are that close to home.
Mm. Interesting.
And the brass ring, you know, once they start looking at the fine print on it, it's made in China.
So. So what do the Chinese people think of that theory?
Well, it's not so much that. It's pretty much what we're all doing and chasing after. It's basically whittled down to the lowest common denominator, and it's all about the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
We're all subsidizing things out and basically selling our goals out for an end result that we don't really see. And basically what we're getting is more attuned to the possibility that going back to where things were simpler and more community focused and more, you know, regionally focused, that, you know, instead of the world scope, we've definitely got world problems.
So now you think it's people are getting more local?
I think so. I think, number one, we can't afford to take many trips anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. gas is, you know, taking, you know, that's why they're, you know, somebody coined staycation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's no accident, you know. With that, I think that pretty much we've all realized that this big sprawl that we've done in the past, say, you know, the 80s was a big boom time, and that was an explosion of ideas and corporation. And now there's, pretty much a backlash against that, because we're starting to see, you know, that's pretty much what's behind the recall, you know, the food recall. We exploded after the recall.
And
I regret that the recall happened. The one silver lining, if you can say there was one, people read the labels now.
Hmm.
You know, people are actually cognizant of what they're feeding their animals. They're actually cognizant of what they're feeding themselves. And, you know, you give it five more years and what's going to go on now with, you know, the really big crackdowns on corporations, they're going to be tracking that down to our food suppliers and our food sources.
That's good. That's good. You can only hope. You know, my theory on that was the baby boomers is if your kids go off to college, you kind of replace them with pets, and they become your babies. They're your kids.
Right.
And they're like, I mean, my
pets are.
Well,
it's before and after your kids.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of single young people that pets are their kids.
Pets don't take out student loans.
No, and their tail's always wagging, and they're happy to see you.
That's right.
They're the best. I happen to have the smartest standard poodle you've ever met, by the way.
They're smart by breed anyway.
Yeah, so they're very smart. They're very smart.
That's great.
Yes. So, wow. Any other advice for listeners when it comes to how to go green with your pet?
Well, obviously, there are ways to think local. There are also, you know, it's pretty much no-brainer things. If you're out, make sure that you use recyclable, you know, or cornstarch potty bags. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're picking up after your pet, some of those won't biodegrade. Where the cornstarch ones, once they are sealed and they get wet, they'll start to break down in the environment. Plastic bags are one of the biggest pollutants. Mm-hmm. Anything in a plastic bag, it's a good thing to stay away from those as much as possible. In anything you buy for your pet.
That's probably a really good tip. Think of all those plastic bags out there. Yeah. Wow.
And those are petroleum-based. So, mm-hmm. you know, for a ton of plastic bags, it's $4,000 to recycle a ton of plastic bags. And then after they're recycled, the street value is $35.
Hmm. Wow. I got to come get some cornstarch bags. Thank you so much.
Where's your location?
Our store is on Cherokee Avenue, across from Zoo Atlanta, mm-hmm. 753 Cherokee Avenue Southeast.
And your website?
Our website is intownhealthyhound.com. Our store hours are 10 to 7, Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 6, Sunday, closed Monday.
I love the name, too. Healthy Hound and City Kitty, right?
Yeah, that's right. We actually listen to our customers because In Town Healthy Hound was the name of the store. And after the first initial weekend and people coming in asking, well, we weren't going to come in, but do you have cat stuff, right? So we listen to our customers. Like within a week, we changed the name.
Yeah, you like that, huh? Have you got new business cards?
actually, we have them ordered. We just received them yesterday. So, yeah.
And the website's great, too. A lot of wonderful links and tools and resources.
And there's a newsletter, I think.
Mm-hmm. Newsletter?
There is a newsletter. We do that monthly, and we feature local artists or vendors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's basically a big community because the dog community is all interrelated here.
And cat.
Yes.
I personally don't have cats, but I have a lot of friends that do, so I have to keep stuff for them.
That's fair.
Thank you so much for being our guest today. We hope people will visit the website, come to your store, and I got to come check out the food in bulk. That is a great idea. There's so much waste and packaging in pet food. What a wonderful idea. So thank you so much for being our guest today. We hope people will visit your website. And thank you to our listeners. We hope you have a wonderful day. Any final thoughts, Lee?
No, another bunch of interesting people here.
Love it. I love it. We hope you have a great day.